time.
We finally got this thing going. Hey. You know, the problem with doing a podcast is that...
Are we doing it now, or...
I'm just gonna go... We're just gonna roll right into it. This is number three, by the way. This is podcast number three. But, boy, I am so dumb when it comes to technology. I have done so much research on YouTube and called so many different people about doing this, so it takes me a long time to really get into the process, but...
That's how you gotta do it, man.
Yeah, I guess so. You know, you don't just jump into something without any knowledge.
Oh, yeah. You can build a boat from watching YouTube.
Dude, that's so true. Man. When I was a kid, I asked my dad with help on my car, and my dad knows a lot about cars, don't get me wrong. And I was like, Dad, I need, I don't remember what it was. I was like, not a kid, obviously. I had a car when I was 6 years old.
Oh, okay.
I asked him for help on something in the engine. He was like, yeah, let me just YouTube this. And I was like, oh my God. I thought fathers knew everything. But he basically, yeah, YouTube basically saved him. But yeah, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to number three podcast of Conversations from a Room. I have a very, very special friend here. I haven't told you the title. Oh, it's called Conversations from a Room. It's based off of loosely based off of an album that I listened to by Leonard Cohen called Songs from a Room. It's from the 60s. It's one of my favorite albums ever.
Okay.
And I was like, you know what? I want to use that and change it. Basically steal it. But it's not technically stealing if I change the first word. But yeah.
Hey, that's nice.
Jaron Robinson, is that your last name?
Yeah, it is.
Jaron, you know, Jaron, right? Because I never call you Jaron. I just call you Jay.
A lot of people get my name wrong. That's why I tell them. Because
you said call you Jay, and I was like, Jaron's not hard to say.
Yeah, I got Jerome, Jaron, Jarrett. My pastor called me Jarrett for like all of my life.
Jarrett?
Yes.
Wow.
While I was going to church. And he'll like put the spotlight on me. It's nice to see Jarrett here. I'm like, oh, God.
That's terrible. That's why you don't go to church anymore. You're scared they're going to...
Get it right.
God, that's cool, man. Well, thanks for coming down, dude. This is my third podcast, so... I'm surprised you've even gotten past one. I'm not going to lie to you. But, boy, yeah. I'm glad this is going through.
Who was had the first two go?
So the first one was Rachel, my fiance.
No,
she was the first one. Yeah. It was a cute little introduction into the world of podcasting. So yeah, and then the second one was a friend of mine that I went to college with. Her name is Shalimar. She lives in New York City,
Shalimar.
And she's a birth doula.
What?
Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
What's your definition of a birth doula?
That's like the people that help the birthing.
Yeah. Happen. They're basically like a dumb it down. It's emotional support, birth. She's like a doctor of love for people who are giving birth. Yeah, and that's what she studied that for years, and she got
Shout
a license
out to the doulas out there.
Yeah, man. Yeah, she's great, man. She's a cool person, and her husband Chris was here. They spent a few days with us in Los Angeles, and they stayed here in my apartment, and we just got to hang out, and you know, it was nice because I hadn't seen her since college, so it was pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice. But I brought you down, man, because I met you not very long ago. It's only been like what, 4 or 5 months now we've met, you know each other? And
has it been that long?
Yeah.
4 or 5 months.
Yeah, because I started working working at the restaurant. Me and Jay are acquaintances through restaurant work. We're a high class restaurant people, aka struggling artists who need to make a buck by making pizzas and delivering them.
Man, LA will make you do something that you didn't think you would do. I'm talking about cooking pizza, everybody.
That's like they put that on the billboard when you enter LA. Like you're gonna do something you never thought you'd do. To make money. Welcome to Los Angeles, kid. Now give me your balls.
Give me your balls and your soul. Put it in this bag. When I first got here, I was like gung-ho about it. But after 5 years of living here, I think Los Angeles should change the City of Angels and their motto of that to whatever it takes. Los Angeles, whatever it takes.
That's true, man.
Because good God.
Because I remember moving here and thinking, like, I was going to get an acting job, like, right off the bat. After 2 years, I would be on a TV show. I'd be, like, representing theaters in L.A. And I'm, like, most of my time is just delivering pizza or just going to auditions and landing not much of anything. But, you know, you just got to climb that ladder, dude.
You got to climb the ladder.
But I remember when I knew that we were going to hit it off because when I met you, I noticed that you were very funny, obviously. But you were also very sarcastic and dry. And I was like, because when I worked at the shop, I just assumed everyone was just like a regular person. Like no one was an artist or a comedian or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, this guy's funny. He's got this really like this sort of sarcastic, dry sense of humor, which I have. And not a lot of people I get along with because I kind of come off as like an asshole because I'm very dry or whatever. But you, it's like you ate it up. You were great. You were team effort when it comes to like just goofing around in comedy. And then I found out that you were a stand-up comedian, and I was like, hell yeah, go Jay.
Because
you have that sort of like comedian aspect, that sort of like knowledge of what's funny. What, like, if you, I'm sure you walk around and you're like, that's a joke, let me write this down. This is a moment.
Oh, yes.
Take this in. Take, you know.
It's material everywhere out here, from butt-naked women that's walking down the street, howl for coke, to prostitutes. That's
boy, I never want to take my parents to one of your shows.
Oh, man. We have a lot to talk about. My God.
But that's great, man. So I offer the guests a drink every time. You chose beer.
I did choose
good old
beer.
Good old Hefeweizen.
Beer do run through me, and I
good God,
I realize,
why did you
what kind of podcast show is this? Can I say run through me?
Anymore? I'll say this. It's not for adults, and it's not for children. So there's a small window.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We just going to creep through that window. But yes, I am drinking some beer, and it's pretty good.
Are you gluten intolerant? Is that why?
Look, man, I'm from the South. If y'all haven't noticed from
my vernacular, you can probably eat anything.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell gluten free was until I came out here.
Oh, same here.
Oh yeah.
I honestly remember I first heard about gluten free when I came out here, but I first heard about vegan when I was in high school, and I had one girl at my school who was vegan. And I thought she had like a disease. I thought what her case was also like. Well, you know what? Okay, I'm being mean. I'm sorry. Let me take it back. I thought it was because she was something like, she couldn't eat. But I think it's because she couldn't eat dairy. And then she was also, like, she couldn't eat certain meat. So I was like, I think she just went vegan. And I didn't even know what it was. So at the time, as a kid, I was in high school. I was like, oh, man, this poor girl. She's got, like, a thing that she can't eat certain foods. She's, she's vegan.
Oh.
And then I moved out here, and I was vegan for, like, a year and a half. So... So, you know, people try out new things, and I think L.A. is a huge melting pot for diverse cultures and subcultures and, you know, dieting, exercising, art. I mean, it's a melting pot of creativity out here, so, yeah. So, yeah, as I said, this podcast is to bring people in, to ask them what they do, what they love, and pretty much promote themselves. I love talking to artists. I love talking to entrepreneurs. And we talk about life because at the end of the day, life is all you got, man. You got to talk about life because, you know, it's the most important
thing. It can be hard at times. Life is – what the hell? Life is like a dick. It can be hard at times. It ain't going to be soft.
You know, when you asked me what type of podcast this is, I should have stated like right off the bat, like, wait. There should be at the beginning of this podcast, I'm going to have to edit it advisory, like, please, this guy's vulgar.
I want to say that right to the left of me, there's a sign that says, please, no singing, no dancing, no swearing.
Yeah.
This is a respectful house.
That's an ironic sign.
I looked at that and said, well, I'm going to miss all of that.
Oh, dude, I do all those things before okay. breakfast. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
I sing, I dance, and I swear all before breakfast. Every
yes.
morning.
That's how life is, god dang it.
Speaking of life, Jaren. First thing I want to ask you is, what was your childhood like? What was life for you growing up? What type of kid were you?
I was a rambunctious kid, kind of an ambitious kid, adventurous kid. I would go around the neighborhood and go to the store. It was a good childhood. I was one of the rare black kids that had both.
Tell
of
me
their
more
parents.
About going to the store.
Yeah, it was.
What's that all about?
It was cool, you know.
What store? What's like? Is it like? Did you grow up in a small town? Where'd you grow up?
Memphis, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You gotta say Tennessee instead of Tennessee.
I had a buddy of mine Memphis. Who grew up in a small town, and he would tell me, because I'm from Florida, and he grew up in Gainesville, which is like a little small town. Well, Gainesville, but outside of Gainesville, there's this little town called Williston, and it's basically just farm country. And he would tell me that on the weekend, I would be like, "So what do you do on the weekends, man?" Because I grew up in Miami, so on the weekends we'd go out. You know what I mean? We'd go to the beach, or we'd go, you know, if we were 21, we'd go to the club or whatever. Just yeah. Whatever stuff that kids do. And he's like, well, we would go and hang out at, like, Walmart.
Hell yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You would just hang out. Like, he would be like, we would drive up to the parking lot of Walmart. We would just tailgate and just drink in the parking lot and stuff. And I'm like, that's kind of cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Well, we wouldn't drink in the parking lot.
Oh, what
we would
doing?
Probably do a little, you know.
All right, that can mean one or two things. You're either smoking pot, you're dealing drugs, or you're having sex.
It goes down in Walmart parking lot.
A little bit all three
goes down in Walmart parking lot.
So what was your dating life like back in Tennessee?
It was all right. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a lot of chicks out there that want the guys that's like dope dealers.
Dope? Wait, girls are interested in drug
fast
dealers?
Fast money, man. Anything that's
really?
that's like
that's what they're
real,
interested in?
It's a lot of them out there that's
yeah.
still want the
I guess
want
it's
the
kinda
dude
like
with
that.
The rims.
I guess it's kind of like that like
it's
kind of
like that
mentality.
Here, but it's intensified.
Yeah. Yeah.
So instead of dope dealers, they mm-hmm. want the Mercer Lagos, the guys that's doing liposuction surgeries mm-hmm. and
also
all these rich
cocaine
dudes.
On the side.
Money.
Yeah. So.
But there's some good ones in Memphis.
Yeah, yeah,
too.
Yeah. So how? What about your family? Do you have a big family? Little family?
Oh, yeah. I have a big family. Mm-hmm. Like, my immediate family is just me and my sister, my mom, and my dad.
Yeah, you've told me about that.
And then outside of that, a plethora of cousins, mm-hmm. and we have abundance of love for each other.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I think, honestly, I'm the type of person that I think family is absolutely everything.
Amen.
To me, family is everything. I think for as long as you can, you need to be able to, like, family comes first. I think so. Support your family. Be there for your family. Mm-hmm. Do everything you can to keep a strong integrity. To keep the family, the integrity of a family needs to be strong. You know what I mean? Like, you have
exactly.
to keep that together, you know? I have a lot of friends who I'm like, hey, how's so-and-so? It's like, oh, I haven't talked to, you know, my brother in a while. Or I haven't talked to my sister. I'm like, dude, call them up, man. Like, that's your brother. That's your sister. Like, that's people you love. And I know it's hard. Like, a lot of times, like, because, like, a lot of families, like, you know, they grew up in certain circumstances where, you know, things weren't always, you know, easy for them. And you know, maybe they, you know, they have brothers or sisters who didn't always, you know, want to show their love and all that. But
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think life is too short to not yes. express everything you
oh,
can
yeah.
with your family.
Yeah, I got yeah, a yeah. lot of friends that I try to hug them all the time, and they're like, "Man, get the hell up off me!" I'm like, "Bro,
you've never hugged
look
me.
Look here, I hugged you before. I haven't.
You
want to
do a
before.
Live podcast hug?
You want to do a look? Let's
all right,
do
we're
it.
Gonna do a quick hug.
This is a this is the sound of yeah, a hug.
This
everybody.
Is the sound of hugging right here. Come here.
Come on in, man. Bring it in.
This is just. Two men alone in my apartment. That was a great dude. You're built for hugs, man.
Again, I love vajayjay.
You can still be a you can still express your masculinity by being affectionate to other men. That's perfectly
but
sexy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I
it's
love
very
hugging
sexy,
people.
Man.
You gotta hug people. You gotta show love. Cause it
that was a
is,
good hug,
mm-hmm.
and you're a strong hugger too.
Yeah,
like I was just gonna go for like a little, but no, you
oh,
were
no.
you were like,
you're bringing in, and you gotta do the,
don't do that.
You gotta do that because it's releasing the bad things in life
when
you both
friends,
together.
That's great, man. So when did you make your transition over to Los Angeles?
That happened in 2013. Mm-hmm. I got 2 degrees in Bachelor of Arts mm-hmm. and Associate of Arts and in theater.
We have the exact same degree.
Oh, degree buddies.
That's awesome. I have a BFA in Fine Arts in theater and a Bachelor's Associates.
How was it for you in theater?
At the time, I hated it mm-hmm. only because it was exhausting. I went to a conservatory in Miami. It was called New World School of the Arts, and it was the same students every day for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was just like it was drilled like mm-hmm. courses. Like we would do movement, we would do voice, we would do speech, we would do clowning, we would do Chekhov, we would do
Chekhov. What you know about Anton Chekhov? Boy, Anton Chekhov made me cry for three days straight.
What's your favorite Anton Chekhov play?
Oh, crap. Was it the Cherry Orchard? I think.
Was it Cherry Orchard?
Was it the Cherry Orchard?
I think you're just thinking of an American classic.
I can't remember. I ain't gonna lie. I hated Chekhov. I ain't gonna lie to you.
The three ballers of that time were Anton Chekhov, it was Henrik Ibsen.
Yes.
And, God, there was one more. Who's the guy that wrote, did you read Enemy of the People?
Enemy of the People? That's, no.
Yeah, that was.
I don't think I have.
I think that was Henrik Ibsen. Henrik Ibsen. Anyways, that was one of my favorite plays back. Those were like back in the 1800s, like when those plays started to really thrive. I think it was, God, I had to go back on my research, but I think it was the 1800s when those plays, or maybe it was early 1900s, I'm not going to lie. I can't remember. But yeah, Henrik, for the people who don't know, Anton Chekhov was a Russian playwright, and yeah. he introduced a style of acting and basically script writing that you would act in a way that was more more natural and more organic than the sort of stereotypical acting that they had in the 1700s. It was very big and avant-garde mm-hmm. and like, you know, Shakespearean and all that.
Yeah.
That was the sort of essence of plays for so long. Anton Chekhov was the originator. He incepted the idea of that you could just act as a person, just be real, and you could be sad, you can be, you know, happy. You can show these human emotions on stage, and he basically was the guy who created that. He wrote plays that really emphasized in this sort of acting. So there are a lot of schools or studios in acting really study hard on
yeah.
Anton Chekhov, even though it was yeah. years and years ago, because he originated that sort of acting style. So yeah.
Yeah, him, and Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm. I was never a fan of Shakespeare.
I did not like it.
Actors, like, they bleed Shakespeare. And I'm like, whatever, man, it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Shakespeare's fine.
He had, like, the education of an eighth grader.
Is that true?
And a lot of people didn't even think he existed.
Well, if he has the education of an eighth grader, I have the education of, like, a... Someone who's like a caveman.
I got that.
Because shit, man, he's
really. Like, I know he didn't go to public school. I know that damn much.
Yeah, well,
he had a hell of an education.
That's
then.
Awesome, man. I'm glad that we. Okay, so yeah, that was. I liked. Okay, during going back to how it was you know, being in a school of fine arts, I liked it. There was days where I hated it. Days where I liked it. I loved it because everything I know today, I still incorporate from what I learned in school.
Yeah.
For acting. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
I think for actors, I think it's 95% of the time it's important to take a course. Like, you need to be able to have someone to kind of give you the guidelines, you know what I mean? Because a lot of actors, it's like, oh, I never went to school and all that. That's cool. That's fine. That's great. You're a natural, a true, organic actor. But I think with me, it's like I knew it since I was a kid, like since I was a baby. Mm-hmm. I love to entertain. I love to act. I love to, you know, do all this stuff.
Yeah.
But I needed someone to sort of smooth out my path because I didn't know what to use. Basically, I was like a mutant who didn't know how to use their powers, and I went to the school of Xavier for mutants, and they basically showed me how to use my powers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that sounds kind of like pretentious, but that's the best way to say it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just need someone to show me how to do these things. You know what I mean? So it was good. What about you?
Mine was cool. I didn't think I was an actor. I knew that I can make people laugh mm-hmm. all my life. From sixth grade, I was most witty. I toot my own horn on that one. Eighth grade, I was voted most witty, but I don't know if I won. And then 12th grade, I was voted most witty again. And I lost to Derek Braxton. Derek Braxton, you're not that funny.
You know what, okay? Man?
I am.
Derek Braxton, God wherever damn, you Derek are right now. Braxton. Just letting you know.
I love you, brother.
Jaren Robinson is way better than you are.
I am way better than you. I don't know what's going on in the water in Raleigh, Egypt. But anyway, but yeah.
I'm sure he's a nice guy.
I'm sure he's a nice dude.
I hope the best for him, too.
Shout out to Derek Braxton.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
He's a good guy.
We're just screwing with you, bro.
But yeah, after that, I realized that I think I was doing a Shakespearean monologue. Mm-hmm. My English teacher, she had us read out loud when I was in 12th grade. Mm-hmm. And I used to always read in such a character voice. Mm-hmm. So it'd get to me and I'm like, the glossary went over to the such and such, da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. So she dumped me into a Shakespearean contest. Where I did a sonnet and a soliloquy. And I nailed the soliloquy, and I messed up on the sonnet.
Mm.
And it was like...
Isn't that the worst feeling in the world?
That's the worst. If you guys don't know what the worst feeling in the world is...
Perform something
and forget everything that you rehearse. Everything. In front of people.
I've had... Terrible, terrible. A lot of people know this about me, like my friends from school and all that. But I had to audition every year at the beginning of our semester. We have to audition for the plays that they're going to bring out for that year.
Yes, yes.
And you have to do like a huge audition in the beginning of the year in front of the underclassmen, in front of the dean, all the professors in school. You have to do two monologues and a song.
Mm-hmm.
I basically blanked on both my monologues. Oh. I got two words out on each, and I just forgot everything, dude. But when it came to my song, I was doing Oh What a Night by the Four Seasons, and I was like, this is the only thing I remember. So I was just like, oh, what a night, late December, back in 63. Like, I was just like, ta-da-da-da-da-da, ha! And then just walk of shame, dude. Nothing. It was the worst. I still have nightmares today about going on stage, forgetting all my lines, and just being like, I don't know what to do. Like, it was the worst feeling. And don't get me wrong. It wasn't because I blanked, not only because I couldn't get through it, but I never took time to memorize the monologues.
Yeah,
that was it.
It's like when you first get
college,
there.
I'll do it the night before.
I'll do it the night before.
Back then I couldn't. I should have winged it. I could have said whatever. I could have been like, so sometimes when the leaves fall, they turn different colors. And let me tell you, like, as a comedian, you could just bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I thought about that.
But yeah, man, it was terrible. It was one of the worst days of my life was that day. But yeah. What's the name of your school? Where'd you go to school?
University of Memphis. And before mm-hmm. that, it was Southwest Tennessee Community College.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I went to Miami-Dade Community College for 2 years. That's mm-hmm. how I got my associates. And then I went to my bachelor's.
Transferred over.
Yeah. But my school is actually associated with the University of Florida. So I got a degree from the University of Florida.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So it was pretty sweet.
Hell yeah.
Just tooting my own horn right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, toot.
Thank you. So I want to ask you, because you are a stand-up comedian, and you are, you know, you're an actor, but you're also a stand-up comedian. You're a thriving stand-up comedian. What is it?
Thriving. Thank you.
is that a negative?
Yeah.
Let me take that back. You are a working stand-up comedian. Because from what you told me, you do perform at a lot of like good places.
Yeah, I try.
And you have opened up for a lot of great like big headliners. So I will say that. And you've shared some stories with me, but I'm very impressed with you. But
thank you, man.
And I've even told you like I have nothing but faith in you when it comes to like you know comedy acting, just entertainment in general, because you have that sort of like idea of you know being funny and all that. But
you know how to make a guest blush. Thanks, Chris.
All right, but so how did you start doing stand-up comedy?
A friend of mine, Darius, and my roommate Sarkis. Yeah, they told me to try to gumption up enough cojones to get mm-hmm. in front of people and do it. Mm-hmm. I didn't have it at first. I was like, oh my god, I'm scared as hell. I don't want to get up.
Yeah. How do you feel on stage still?
Nervous. And I think that this is a good note right here. If you don't get nervous, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
You're supposed to get nervous.
It's the same thing
with
acting.
You're supposed to work through it. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Rachel's also an actor, and she, whenever she goes to an audition, she's like, I still get so nervous before an audition. I was like, yeah, so do I. Mm-hmm. It was like, but it doesn't, you don't look like it. I was like, I'm screaming inside, but I just, you have to fake the confidence. You know what I mean? I think faking the confidence can get through. You can, with that method, you can get through anything, man.
Because
half the time, I'm sorry, not even half the time, like 98% of the time, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Yeah.
I'm also like scared shitless. Mm-hmm. But if I walk into somewhere with confidence and if people think I know what I'm doing, they're gonna just be like, "Wow, this guy exudes."
Who's that guy?
Yeah, who's this Mister over here? Bring it on over here, Mister. Like, it's the charisma that you want to be able to express off yourself, because you can do anything in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But if you walk around with your tail under your legs, man. People are gonna walk all over you.
Yeah.
And I'm scared shitless half the time. But I walk in like, hey, what's up? Let's do this. Come on, guys. What are mm-hmm. we doing? I don't know. We'll figure it out. You just have to be confident. And but yeah, I mean, I think that's just a huge you know barricade to kind of jump over.
Yeah, and it's the passion behind it, man. Mm-hmm. If you're not nervous when you are at the DMV getting mm-hmm. you getting shit done there.
Exactly.
But that's because you don't have the passion behind mm-hmm. going to the DMV.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
When you have the passion behind something and you want to do good, you get nervous. And mm-hmm. it's driving through that nervousness is what get you to the goal. Nervousness is like the mountain. I think I'm going to say something. Nervousness is like the mountain.
Oh, here it goes. Oh my God. He's going to say something good. What is it? What is
and
it?
And the gold.
Get your pencils
is
out.
In there. The diamonds are in there.
Oh, my God.
And you're the miner. Going through the nervousness.
Meyer, like a child, or
wow,
I just screwed it up.
Yeah, not like a child.
Yeah. So let me ask you something. How do you deal with nerves? What is it? Do you do anything in your life? You know, whether it's meditation, whether it's medicinal, whether it's you know a practice, maybe like a mantra that you give yourself every day. You say in your head, like, hey, man. You can do this. You're cool. Like, do you have a method? Do you have some sort of exercise that you do with yourself to kind of help with nerves?
I just tell
you just
myself,
push on through it.
Hey, you've been doing this for a long time. Why are you nervous? Get on up there. Do it. Push
do
through it.
It.
Yeah.
So just do it, huh?
And make people laugh.
Yeah.
Because that's a gift that you have.
Yeah.
I realized, like, being out here that
so repetition is key. It's basically like if I do this long enough, I can get a hold of it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I can get yeah. So yeah, just keep.
I'm pretty sure a lot of comedians still get nervous.
Oh,
Beyonce gets nervous.
I heard. I remember. Are you familiar with the Beatles? They're a band.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. So Ringo
Starr. You're talking not bugs, right?
Yeah, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're talking about the bugs. So there's one particular bug called Ringo Starr.
Oh, all right.
He still creates, you know, work. He still performs constantly. He still creates work. And, you know, coming from one of the biggest bands of all history, of all time,
mm-hmm.
you know, people ask him, you know, were you ever nervous every time you guys would perform? It's like, he's like, I still get nervous. He says before he performs, every single time before a live performance, even today, he throws up behind, like, backstage.
What?
He pukes into a bucket And then he goes right on the stage because he's so nervous. He has so many nerves.
Yeah.
And that's Ringo Starr from the Beatles, man. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Like people still get nervous all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a human thing, man. We're human. And I think that's the problem. A lot of people, you know, because they think that they can't do certain things because the fear of failure or the fear of it's not going to be good enough. I say believe in yourself because everyone feels that way. And you have to give yourself the opportunity. You have to. Just try it.
And what helped me was like going to open mics and seeing people that was really not funny, but they had the gumption to go up there and be like, hey, I'm trying. I got to respect you that, man, because you up there, you're not that funny. But so, you're trying.
Let me ask you something.
And that's good.
I've noticed this a few times. Do you watch certain performers and you're like, oh, I can do way better than this?
Like some of the celebrities?
No.
Or just at open mics?
Open mics, yeah. So,
that's what got me to a lot of some confidence. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Like one dude, I was at a audition.
Not to be cocky, obviously. But what I'm saying is, like, do you ever feel like, oh, this guy is up here doing it? What keeps me from doing it if I know that I can probably do something a little better? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no kind of like unpretentious way of saying that, but basically what I'm saying, it's like you have confidence in yourself to be like, oh, wait, I think I might have something that might top this. Let me try what I have because I think this might. Because I used to think all my stuff is shit, but then you see something, and you're like, oh wait, no, I can top that.
Oh, there's people like that out there.
Yeah.
I can do better than that.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then there's somebody else that's like at the A game, and you're like, okay, I'm not there.
Yeah.
But I see that.
I see what they're doing, and I think I can use the same ingredients. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I want to get there.
Yeah. For sure.
But yeah, man, it's once you get the first laugh, that the nervousness goes away, and it's like an immediate high that's like above any drug that you can ever take.
Damn,
everybody
that's
laughing at the same time is amazing.
Isn't that an incredible, incredible feeling?
That's almost
just having everyone on your side, because all we ever want in life is like appreciation. You know what I mean? It's like to be like, thank you, like we just want to say thank you for, because we worked hard on what we're doing, and people are like, hey, great job, and or like they laugh and they give you some sort of like credit. It's like, oh, thank God. You know what I mean?
I do a good joke and everybody like, oh, and I just go, oh my god, you guys, thank you so much for the laughter.
But here's the funny thing, after that it's funny that you say after that first joke.
I was just seeing how much I had left.
Jay just shaved his beard. He's like, more, please. Please, sir, can I have another? Do you want one more?
I'll take one more.
All right. Talk to me when I go to the fridge.
Yeah, man. So, comedy. It's something. And I want a lot of you guys out there to stop being so damn sensitive nowadays. I follow Leslie Jones on Instagram, and she was like, hey, look, we comedians, we tell jokes. This is what we do. If you think you're going to be sensitive or be offended, thank you for the beer, be offended by something, don't go to a comedy club.
Or do go to a comedy club.
Don't be uptight.
Because you know what?
Get ready to laugh.
You know, a lot of times comedians do go kind of far. Let's open at the same time. Ready? One, two.
I was still off.
Yeah, that was terrible. A lot of comedians, they do go kind of far, but I'm the type of person where I think if you can laugh at pain, you can laugh away the pain, you can laugh away this sort of like serious or this dark cloud that's held over, you know, America at times. I think comedians are sort of the outlet to express the comedic side of everything that we're going through, and You know, I think if a comedian, at the end of the day, has the right intentions in their heart, and they truly believe that everyone can just have a good time and be able to express themselves, I think that's a good comedian. Because, you could say stuff that's a little, I don't want to say offensive, because everyone's going to be offended by something. You know what I mean? There's billions of people. Everyone's going to be offended by everything. But I think comedians do have a sort of the leg room to stretch, stretch push the envelope.
Gumption.
Yeah, exactly. Know. Yeah, no, that's they almost have like the pass to do that, because I think it's our way to express, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's the best a good way to put a reflect. Art is just an imitation of reality.
Yeah.
And it's a good form of art that that puts a mirror up into everybody's faces. It's also, you know, telling you like it is.
Yeah.
But just in a funny way. Mm-hmm. It's like, can't be offended at too many jokes. Now, if a comedian go up there and just say nigga, nigga, nigga all the time, I'm like, all right, hold on now.
Yeah,
take black it easy, or bro. White, though. Yeah. You know? It's like, where are the jokes, motherfucker?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you're just doing, it's like the same thing. I think with a lot of people who do comedy, even improv, like if there's this, I think it's called blue humor, when all you'd ever do is talk about sex and like you just curse a lot. It's just not funny. It's not. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to have, like, you need to relate to the audience. Don't just talk about shit that you and your boys talk about. No, talk about stuff that people want to hear about. You know, what is this? What does the older woman in the third row think might be funny? Or what is this? Where is the guy in the back who think might, you know, well, who cares about the guy? If he's white and a male, who gives a fuck? He's going to laugh at everything. He's got no problems.
America gives a fuck.
That's what he's going to say.
If you were black, then they would.
So let me tell you, man, let me ask you, most of your material about?
A lot of my material is, I'm trying to get more, I'm still learning, so don't get this.
Oh, we all, you're going to,
yeah,
you're
don't
gonna
get it twisted.
Dude, my parents are still learning. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm trying to get to Chappelle. I'm trying to get to.
Hell yeah, bro.
Eric Andre, hell. I'm trying to get to any one of the eight level. But yeah, man, I'm trying to work on vulnerability now. It's hard to say that word without sounding drunk. Vulnerability?
You're drunk after one and a half beers.
Vulnerability. Say vulnerability and you tell me that, don't say.
Dude, but the
another word, judicial system.
Judicial system.
You can't say that without.
You know what's another one?
Drunk.
When someone's like, "Oh, I was just working on a video. I was editing. I was editing. I gotta edit it.
I was editing. But yeah, man. What was it?
What's your material about?
Yeah, I'm trying to be more vulnerable, so I'm trying to talk more about the stories that happened to me while I was out here. Mm-hmm. Stories about what happened to me back in the day and the frustrations that I go through day in and day out. Like, one of the jokes I got was, like, I went to San Francisco and I realized there wasn't nothing but Priuses out there. I said, if any dude from the hood get a Prius, then the drive-bys would be crazy. There would be... If a dude from the hood got a Prius and a silencer, 25 people could die and nobody would know who it is. All you hear is...
Yeah, they'll never look for the guy in the blue Prius.
They'll look for the guy in the blue Prius.
You might as well just
get... With no tin on it.
Yeah. Driving a Prius is more incognito than having a car that's like... In camouflage.
Exactly.
Like, I think if Batman was real today, he would just drive a Prius because no one would ever find him. Especially in Los Angeles. If he drove a gray Prius, Batman would get away with everything.
He would get away with it all.
We lost him. We'll never find him. What is he in? I think he's in a Prius. Off. Just forget it. Just let him
he's
do his thing.
Outrun all of he's us in that battery everything. Operated thing.
But also, if Batman had a Prius, he'd be obligated to be Uber at the same time. You gotta kind of Uber with Batman?
Give me 5 stars.
But you'd have to sit
I'm
in the
giving
back,
you
though.
4.
Yeah.
Give me 5 stars. You're kind of rude, Batman. Give me 5 stars. God dang it. It's you'd going to 3.
Yeah. You'd have to sit in the back, though, because Robin's always in the front. All right, man. Well, let's get into the next topic. It's my favorite thing to talk about. The reason why I kind of created this podcast, because I want to talk about movies, I want to talk about books, and I want to talk about music.
Man, I thought you were about to say the economy and government. I'm about to walk the
hell out of that. That's after this.
Oh.
just wait. So let's talk about film, because I love, 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 love movies. That's why I became an actor. Woo-hoo! I think movies is such a terrific artistic form to... I think movies can create change. I think movies can create emotions, you know, in people.
Before we dive into this, the theater part of me saying, hey, people, do not let theater die.
Mm-hmm.
It is really, really good. It's the interaction between an mm-hmm. audience and live mm-hmm. performance.
Oh, live theater is something magical. I don't think live theater will ever die, honestly.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Performing in front of an audience is the best feeling in the world.
The best feeling ever.
And I think anyone who's never gone to a live show, like a theater, like anyone who's never gone to a play, go to a play.
Please.
Go to a play.
Please go to a play.
They have, you know, they have that feeling of that stereotype of like it's boring, it's silly. No, no, no. Plays are great. You know, they're not all that great, but I think
it's some out there.
Yeah, some out there.
Read before you go to it.
Research the play first, you know, because I myself have gone to plays, but like we waste our fucking time with this. But no, I think that's great. I'm glad you're here, because that's a great. Besides movies, like going to watch plays is an amazing experience.
I kick myself in the butt because I still haven't seen Hamilton. I want to see all the
Broadway.
Oh,
yeah, for sure. When's the last play you saw?
Lion King. Oh.
You've never seen Lion King?
I never seen Lion
King. Oh, man. I'm going to buy you tickets for you. When's your birthday? Oh, your birthday was last month.
It just passed, yep.
Your birthday was
last
month.
July the 31st, 1985 was one of the best days that ever came to the history of America.
Oh, well, yeah. Why is that?
Little baby Jaron was born.
I thought you were going to say something cool.
That was,
but plays aside, yeah, let's talk about film, because I love, like, plays are great, but movies, I love. What did you say?
He's an a-hole.
Of course I'm an a-hole.
He's an a-hole.
That's a given. I even told you, hey, what's up, man? I'm Chris. I'm an asshole. Just, you know, I have to tell people right off the bat, because if not, they're just like, this guy is... Half the time people are like, is this guy an asshole, or am I just getting like, no, I'm like, no, 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 it's not, don't worry, I, no, I am
that's,
an asshole.
But
yeah.
that's the thing, when you see, he said about when he met me, I met him, when he came into there, I was like, who is this guy? It was a guy before him named that guy was
don't say his last name,
yeah,
and don't say the restaurant we work at, because then he'll know.
He was an a-hole. So when Chris came in, I was like, oh my goodness, here we go. And then I realized
he thought I was just some punk ass kid.
Every time I did a lot of temp jobs back in Memphis, so every time I go to a new place to work at, I look for the funny guy and I get with them and we just make jokes. When I realized that you was just as funny, I was like, oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm glad he's here. God damn. We need
no working here today.
It makes laughter makes the day brighter and goes faster. But yes, film.
Yeah.
Film.
Films. Movies. Television. Hollywood flicks. Bum ba dum ba 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 bum bum bum.
Do you wanna be a star?
That's
perfect.
That was sweet. So I like to ask the guests. Talk about either your favorite movie, or how about this? Let's talk about your favorite movie, the last movie you saw, and the worst movie you've ever seen.
All right. I smoke a lot of marijuana, so we're going to have to remind myself. But, my favorite movie, a lot of people in theater hated me for saying this, because a lot of people would be like, yeah, anything Meryl Streep did,
Your favorite movie can be The Meg. I'm fine with that. I don't care.
Okay. There's no judging here. Favorite movie is...
Can I guess?
Yes.
Because you told me. House Party.
That was one of them.
One of them? Okay.
My favorite is... That's good. Is
that's how you know I'm a good friend.
That's
I know,
like the second.
Yeah. Okay, House Party.
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Damn. All right, who's in the cast?
Red Fox. You got Eddie Murphy. You got Richard Pryor. You got the late Della Reese.
Dude, that is an all-star cast right there.
I loved it. I'm going to tell you the reasons why. I'm going to be truthful.
Oh, please, please. Let's hear about it, man. Let's hear about it.
The reason was, one, it was so funny. Two, it was based like in the 20s where black people was getting their ass handed to them. Oh, but
I didn't know it was based in the 20s.
Yeah. Well, not 20s, the 50s.
Well, that's a huge difference.
But yeah, and then IIS was getting handed to us in the 50s. But these cunning, beautiful black people, they outsmarted not only the police, but the mob as well. And I freaking loved it about that film. And it's so
based
hilarious.
In the 50s, what year did it come out?
It's gotta be
late
80s,
right? Yeah. Like 86,
around
87?
The 80s. Eddie Murphy was popping then.
Yeah.
He was playing quick.
Yeah. That was his SNL years probably still, right? Yeah.
Arsenio Hall was in it. Whitley from A Different World. What's her name? With her fine self. I still love her to this day.
Let's see. Let's look it up. So I want to ask you something. A lot of people talk about this. Do you think that Eddie Murphy today is a different sort of person, comedian, because a lot of people say, oh, it's because he grew up in that world. Like, grew up, but he was so invested in like the celebrity world that he's almost like not like he's not really fitting it into this sort of millennial wave that we've getting now. Like, because sure. For example, I think Chappelle is transitioning beautifully into this new generation. I think, Will Smith is transitioning beautifully into this generation. Why do you think Eddie Murphy has kind of quieted down? Do you think and I'm not saying like, oh, you need to be an artist for the rest of your life. I'm just, Eddie Murphy's one of the kings of all time and for whatever be. Why do you think he's staying quiet because he's like, I'm tired, I'm done, I'm retired? Or do you think it's like he's the 80s and 90s was kind of like his time?
Oh no, man, once you got that funny, once you funny, you
always funny. Yeah, I think
and
so
it
too.
Never goes away.
I think so too.
I've heard that
I wholeheartedly believe in that.
Yeah, once it's natural, it's there.
Yeah.
And I've heard, because I look at stuff on YouTube, that Kevin Hart or somebody said that they was at a dinner, and it was like Kevin Hart, there was Dave Chappelle there, Eddie Murphy was there, and it was some more comedians that was there, and they said out of everybody, of all these legendary comedians, Eddie Murphy was the one that was the funniest.
Yeah, he's great, man. He's absolutely...
That man could come out right now. I think he just don't want to.
I'm looking this up. Yeah, I think he's just like, guys, look, I've given you what I got. I've given you everything.
He's been in the forefront now, for years.
Now, I'm going to go live on top of this mountain of mine.
This and watch icon,
yeah, watch
God-like
over the earth.
Status.
Yeah, I'm going to watch over the earth. I'm going to protect all of you. So shut up and enjoy.
I will come down when I want to. He's actually in the film right now.
What film?
It's like, I think it's based off of Dolomite, the legendary pimp. Shout out to Dolomite.
Wow.
Shout out to Uncle Snoop.
That's incredible. Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Could I say something? Harlem Nights was directed by Eddie Murphy.
Look at that.
Harlem Nights was written by Eddie Murphy.
Look at what?
He wrote and directed this movie.
What?
Yeah.
I did not even know
that. You didn't? Well, now you do.
Wow.
Isn't
Look
that crazy?
At Eddie. Look at
that.
Eddie.
What a he's jack of all trades, man.
Goodness
he is.
Gracious.
He is amazing.
Now, I don't think they did that good in the box office, but I don't care.
Oh, that's okay. All the good ones never do.
Yeah, it was a good.
Except for Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom.
Oh, what? You didn't like it?
No, I loved it.
Oh, okay.
No one, no one liked that movie. No one liked it.
No one liked it. I liked it.
Okay, okay. For anyone who's interested in like any movie lovers out there. There's a app called There's a website or an app called Letterboxd. It's basically Yelp for movie lovers, and they rate movies. So I go on that. It is like my Bible for film. Mm-hmm. And every time a film comes out, I go straight to that. So Letterboxd rated Jurassic World out of 5 stars. Let me see what they put.
It wasn't that bad.
I enjoyed it. Man, I really.
What else do you want? They got dinosaurs. Exactly. They got a volcano eruption.
Out of five stars, they gave it 2.7.
What?
Yes. Look right here.
Oh my god.
2.7.
What?
I enjoyed it. I'm. You can ask anyone. Me and Rachel talked about it in our first podcast. One of my favorite movies of all time, Jurassic Park.
Yes.
Obviously. Yes. Anyone who grew up in that time. Great
movie. Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park 2 is still great. Jurassic Park 3 was not good, but it's still a fun movie. You know what I mean? Jurassic World was good. Was not the best of the Jurassic Parks, but it was still a fun movie.
Yeah.
And then Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom came out, and everyone's like, this movie sucks. This is a blockbuster, like, asshole-eating, like, film. Like, no one gives a shit about it. I liked it. I thought it was a fun movie. It was cool, but go ahead.
It was, you could have kept talking, because it was one movie that Disney came out with that really, really bombed, and they put a bunch load of money in it. It was like around 2013, maybe. It was like dude's name. It was based out in space, and like some dude went over to this planet and helped them out.
Mars Needs Moms?
No, it was like Alex.
Was it animation or?
Mm-mm.
Was it live action?
It was live action, kind of Star Wars-y.
Oh, yes, you're talking and about. Like, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Hold on. Yeah, that movie did terrible.
It did.
Yeah, that's right. And you know what's so funny? People said it was bad because of the title, because it was just the guy's name.
Yeah.
It was like John something.
Yeah.
John.
I want to say Alexander so bad, but it's not. I don't think that's it.
No, it's not John. It's one of those like. Oh, you know what's a good movie? Now that I for some reason it came up, Hancock.
Hancock was a good movie. Yes.
A lot of people were like, "Yeah, it's fine."
A lot of people didn't like Hancock because it was one of the black superheroes that we had that we kind of don't look at because he was drunk. He was like, "You give us a black superhero, and now he's drunk as hell." Mm-hmm. That's why we so happy we got Black Panther.
I was just watching clips from it the other day. It's a cool movie. It's a really neat concept, right?
It really is.
Yeah.
He's a hero.
Man. I'm going to keep looking up the John movie, but that's your Harlem Nights. Great choice. Yes. Absolutely. Anyone who's ever
and
seen
behind
it,
that is House Party.
Yeah, House Party. What's the last movie you saw?
I think it was Denzel Washington's Equalizer 2.
Oh, what'd you think?
It was good.
I mean, good?
Denzel could do a movie about him boo-booing in the stall, and I'll watch it. And that boy can do anything. He could be fixing the air conditioner in one of his movies. Denzel Washington portrays an air conditioner construction guy. Oh, really? What the hell he's gonna do?
Why do you think it's like not super popular right now?
Well, Equalizer 2? I thought it did pretty good.
Let's check Letterboxd right now.
I thought it did pretty.
Equalizer.
If not, then hey y'all need to go see Equalizer 2. It's pretty good.
Well, the Equalizer from 2014 got 3.2 stars. That's not too bad.
Ain't too bad.
If I had a choice of seeing one of the two, which one would I see? One or two? Have you seen both?
I think you should see the first one.
The first one, yeah. It looks like the first one did.
There's nothing good. There's nothing better like the first.
That's cool, man. Well, I like Denzel, so.
Home Alone 1 was better than Home Alone 2. And we're not going to talk about 3.
The other day that you said you did not like Home Alone 3. I enjoyed Home Alone 3.
Bruh, Home Alone 3 came out. I'm like, who is this kid? I don't know him.
I liked it.
I don't have a relationship.
I liked it.
I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. It was like these weird important Russian spies who were trying to get to his house.
Who are these guys? These are not the sticky bandits.
You know what? At the time where you were older than I was. Maybe when I saw it, I was like, because when you're a kid, any movie is like, well, this is great. These moving pictures are really getting me right now.
You talking about comedy? The first time I got a really good laugh was from Home Alone when what's his name, Larry, got shocked.
Oh yeah, well, well, when you have I forget the other guy's name, but Joe Pesci. The guy who played Larry, I forget his name, forgive me, those actors were the perfect guys, because yes, they were funny, and you know what, they were like, Joe Pesci is scary, you know what I mean, so that's why he it's good, because he originates from like a mob mentality. He's got like that, he was in Casino, he's got like that gangster sort of like real guy,
exactly,
scariness, you know what I mean, so that's why it was good. But yeah, no, those, yeah, when he gets shocked,
oh my goodness,
oh, it's hilarious. So actually, when I think about my first laugh, like my belting like laugh when I was a kid, I think when I saw Austin Powers.
Ah, yeah, nice.
Yeah, those were good, those were really good movies.
You know, he's still working.
Oh, of course. Mike, yeah, Myers, well, he's doing that game work show.
Yeah, you don't.
No one really knows if it's him or not, because he's got those prosthetics on. By the way, I found the movie, John Carter.
John Carter!
That was it.
That's the name.
Came out in 2012.
Oh, it was horrible. It's
rated 2.7 stars on Letterboxd. But yeah.
That doesn't make any sense. It was horrible. They spent so much money on
it. Do you think that's the worst movie you've seen?
The worst movie I've seen?
Yeah.
I know which movie that I'm the most angry with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember the name of his most recent one, but he did a good job in the most recent one. M. Night Shyamalan did.
Oh, yeah.
The Village.
Yeah.
And that pissed me the hell off.
Why?
I'm glad I didn't go to the movie theater.
Why?
It is a weird,
I remember I saw that movie, I think I was like 17, 18. No, I must have been younger. I was probably like 15. I remember thinking like, what's going on? What is this? Why is this happening?
Exactly. And then by the end, you like, really, bruh?
Yeah.
That was the biggest really, bruh,
the twist
ever.
You're going to do that?
Really, bruh. Yeah. Guess what you're doing.
That's the thing, man. And like, Shyamalan came out with like his break, not his breakout, but like the movie that everyone talks about, obviously. Sixth Sense?
Sixth Sense, oh yeah.
Which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had The Village. What was first, The Village or The Woman from the Water? You ever see that one?
I think I seen it like once in my life.
That one was okay. Cool. That one was cool. I liked it. Cool. Paul Giamatti was great. I liked how he uses Bryce Dallas Howard a lot. She's really talented. Mm-hmm. Jurassic World. She's good in Jurassic World.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when he started to kind of drift into like weird films, because he did The Village, which was like strange. And then what was that movie, The Happening? Remember with Mark Wahlberg and Zooey Deschanel, where everyone was dying, and it turned out that it was like the trees were killing people or something. That was the twist.
Yeah. Oh man, I forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Oh snap! Yeah, how you remember
that? Yeah, that was I never saw it, but everyone always talks about how terrible that movie was.
It was horrible.
And it was just like boring, and it was just like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah.
And then he messed up Avatar the Airbender.
I know. And that's when people were just like, that's when people gave up on Shyamalan. They're like, dude, forget it.
But what's the last one he?
The last one he did, he did two other ones that were pretty good, but I don't think he promoted. Oh, and then he did the one with Will Smith's son. Remember Last Earth or something like that? That one was okay.
I heard that didn't do anything.
I saw it. I was like, yeah, this isn't bad. I dig this. This is kind of cool. But yeah, a lot of people talk shit about it.
Shout out to Jaden Smith. He just came out with Sire, which is a good album.
Here's the thing, man. A lot of people tell me he's got great music. I've listened to some of it. Yeah, I hear his music's pretty great. Yeah, good for him. A lot of people give him shit. I hope he's doing okay. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times, a lot of people give like young artists, millennials, who are kind of like in this kind of coming of age artist, they give him a lot of shit because, you know, I guess they do a lot of stupid stuff. But but you know what? They work hard, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out to that, man.
Yeah, yeah. Good for him.
Apple that didn't fall too far from the tree.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because his dad,
I knew it
had
something to do with Apple.
And you know what? You know, like, he still has got his name out there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So he's still doing good for himself.
Yeah.
I got steered
away. My bad.
No, it's okay. We've steered away constantly during this podcast. This is actually the longest podcast so far. This might go to like
for
an
reals?
Hour. Yeah, because I usually try to keep it under an hour, but this might go for an hour and a half.
Let's go.
Let's fucking do it.
Balls to the wall.
All right, you need to leave right now.
I would like to do voiceover work one of these days.
Yeah. One day I'll just have you over. We just do voices. How about that?
We'll just do voices. Yeah.
Once this podcast takes off, we'll just, when we have enough people to listen, we'll just be like voice. We'll just do. Jaren's gonna come and do voices.
Some voice producer gonna be like, oh my god, we found them.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we get found. Just two guys doing weird voices. but before we move on, because I like you and like you're the first person where I can talk about film a lot because we're both like really engulfed in like films and television. Let's talk about Luke Cage because that's a show I got into recently.
Yes.
And I really liked it a lot.
Yes.
What's your thought about season 1 and 2?
I loved it. I mean, anytime there's a brother whooping ass, I'm pretty much into it.
Yeah.
Because before all we had was Blank Man. Hello. Blank Man, yeah. Meteor Man.
Yeah.
We had to make our own.
Do do you honestly consider and I agree with you, but I'm asking you because you know we're different people.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you consider
he's white and I'm black? Everybody.
I don't know if anyone's.
He's just, a white guy. I'm black.
Just in case.
he's gay and I like the
yeah,
JJ.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Even though I had my fiance on, my female fiance on the first episode. Another wrong with gay people. Funny. I love gay people.
Yes.
Do you really consider like Luke Cage to be one of those shows that really shook the ground for television for like culture reasons, like how black people?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, any...
Like, compared to, like, other shows where it's, like, a lead, like, because it, like, 95% of the cast is all African-American.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's kind of like when that recent movie that came out, like, Crazy Rich Asians.
Shout out to that movie. I heard it was good, too.
Oh, it's great. Go see it.
I need to go see that. Yeah.
But a lot of people were saying that movie, like, shook ground because it's the first all, like, Asian cast. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, I totally agree. But is Luke Cage, would that be considered, like, for... Because I don't know. Was there not other shows where...
I mean, we had miniature, like...
But it's the first one that shook the ground, huh?
Show-wise, when it came down to, like, a hero...
Yeah. No. Yeah.
We didn't have that many. We had, like, Blade.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's what it is because it's, like, we show, like... We're showing an African-American. But not only that, but... He's like a superhero, and he's like doing.
And he's in the hood.
Yeah, and he's in the hood. Yeah,
that's one prominent thing.
It's a great show, and that's what people talked about when Black Panther came out, and they were like, "This does so much for the cult, like for the African American culture." I'm like, "No, I agree," but I'm like, "Wasn't there other stuff?"
"There was other stuff, but it wasn't to this magnitude." This Black Panther shoved African culture right into the face of people, like look at this is where they from, and this is beautiful, and this is love, and look at it. He's not a vampire that's killing people with a sword and living with old white guy.
Black Panther, does he have like that Batman mentality where it's like we can't kill, we just have to do good? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
he don't believe in killing like that.
Yeah. Don't kill anyone. We'll take our victims, but we can't kill. We need. Okay. Everyone lives. Yeah. That's cool.
And I'm down with that.
Did he? Spoiler alert for anyone who's didn't see. Did he kill Killmonger?
I think he did.
Does he kill him? How does he die? No. Did he get stabbed by himself? Did he fall? I can't remember.
I know they was at. I could see
because I know he gets stabbed.
The last, yeah.
Does he fall?
I don't think he dies. Because I heard he's coming back.
No, Killmonger does die. I heard he's coming back too, but he might come back like because remember it's like a spiritual world, so he might come back as like a spirit, or he might come back as like the because you know how like technically T'Challa dies and then they bring him back with like the Black Panther like serum like the flower maybe they can do it like that but remember when you die you don't come back the same, you know what I mean? So he could just be like pure evil I guess he was still evil, or he can be a different memory. I don't know. I'm assuming it's gonna be the same thing, but
bury me with the ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew freedom was better than enslavement. I think I got that quote wrong, but it's in the vicinity.
That is like 97%
in the
accurate.
Vicinity. I ain't
that, that was his last words. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That wasn't it, but it was in the vicinity. Yeah, yeah. I almost got it right.
Yeah, but no, he does die. Yeah. He does die.
And it does a good job of empathizing with not only just the hero, but mm-hmm. with the villain as well.
Yeah, that's true. That was a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can't remember if he killed him or not. If he fell on his sword.
I know they was in like, they had, the last fight was in the train. So
yeah.
I don't want to say they did.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he was definitely there with him.
Smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah. What's the last movie you saw, like, really high? And you were like, this is the best movie ever?
The last movie I saw really high
mm-hmm.
was Doctor Strange, and I shouldn't have done that. Somebody said, hey, get high as hell and watch Doctor Strange.
I did that,
and I tripped balls.
Yeah.
And then I kind of fell asleep because it lacked some stuff.
Yeah, it's a good movie, but it's kind of slow at some points.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to watch it. I smoked for Logan. Did you see Logan?
Oh, did you make it through?
Oh, I made it through every. But the thing is, that it was like a good high. So like that movie was amplified for me. You know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah.
I was like, holy crap, because I didn't know
it was so good.
So I didn't know it was gonna be like that gruesome. I didn't know it was gonna be like that deep, and I was like. What? This is the best movie I've ever seen. Well, not that.
It was like Marvel said, you know what? We don't give a fuck. We don't let them cuss.
Marvel was like, guys, Marvel was like, we've given so many PG-13 X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Can we just give you like a badass Wolverine? Like, that's what we want. We want a badass Wolverine movie. And that's exactly what it was.
This man got these claws and we never seen him slice somebody's rib
like,
cage.
He's really like...
It's time.
Like, a guy with like metal claws that comes... Like, that could be really... That's terrible.
Oh,
you know what
if
mean?
I had metal claws, my God.
My God.
My Lord. I would be slicing a lot of bread.
All right. So let's move on to books. What have you been reading, buddy?
I need to read more.
What are you reading now?
I'm still stuck on The Power of Positivity.
Okay. So you're on one of those motivational,
motivational
self-help books.
Try to get your mind right
mm-hmm.
Books. And it's a good read.
Mm-hmm.
They got a lot of stories in it of positivity, of how people then came from. One of the stories was the guy that invented the faith of the mustard seed necklace. And he was down on his luck. His company was pretty much about to kick him out. He was about to get fired. He had a lot of situations going bad. And they had like... I think his wife found a mustard seed, and he remembered the Bible verse that if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, then you can move mountains. And he used that and ended up putting it as a little capsule, and he carried it with him, and life started getting better with him throughout his career. He ended up selling it as a necklace. And right now, he's making bank off of it.
Really?
And he's doing wonderfully well. So,
who's the writer of the book?
Oh,
Is it the guy with the necklace? Is it based on his story? Oh, okay.
No, that was just one of the many, 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 many stories that they have in there. And then I come to find out there's more than one Power of Positivity book.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
it's
I
like
don't,
a... There's different chapters or different.
I guess so.
Different segments of it, I guess.
Yeah, but it's a good read. I'm trying to finish that so I can watch. Read.
Read what?
Charlemagne the God's Black Privilege.
Oh, really?
He's about to come out with another book, and I still haven't got on that one.
So what type of books are you interested in? Well, what is stuff that
something that I can relate to, I guess.
That's basically.
And I kind of want to start reading some mysteries and stuff.
Really? So like non like
so
fiction?
If you know any good mysteries.
Yeah. I don't read a lot of mystery. When I got heavily into reading, I started reading a lot of like autobiographies written by like a lot of artists or comedians and stuff like that. Like Steve Martin has a great one called Born Standing Up. You should probably read that one. It's really great. Yeah.
Oh, Steve Martin is a legend.
Yeah, Steve Martin's great. Yes, he's really great. But yeah, he's got his. He wrote a book called Born Standing Up, which is really great. I love that one. That one I read it back in college, and I was like, oh, this is what I should be reading. Like more biographies, autobiographies, you know, stuff about people's lives. And I was like, this really, it kind of speaks to the soul, you know. And then there's another one I read that was really cool. It was the biography of Leonard Cohen. Yeah, who's a like a folk artist from like the 80s, 70s, and passed away. I think I want to say like 2 years ago. But his music was very influential on me and a lot of people. And his life was very cool, man. Like he would travel to Greece, right there. That's what this podcast is named. His second album came out in the 60s. It was called Songs from a Room. Mm. One of his best albums. Anyone who hasn't listened to it, please listen to it. And talks about his life, his career, you know, his struggles. You know, he experiments a lot with drugs and all that, obviously. But you know, as a lot of artists do, I experimented a little bit in college, you know, but not as I become older in my art, you know.
Yeah,
because it's like I want to be able to stay like, I don't know. It's as you become an adult, you become a little bit more grounded within yourself without having to take so many, you know, narcotics and all that. And mm-hmm. So yeah. But then again, marijuana does help a lot.
Yeah, and you don't want to be around 40 or 50 years old tripping balls on shrooms.
Yeah. Well, he did a lot in his 20s and 30s, obviously, but yeah. That's good, man. So yeah, you know, I think books like that can... And those books really do help, like those self-help books, like those spirit...
They do.
Those emotion, like those body, spirit, you know, mind, energy, mm-hmm. all that stuff. They're really, really great. So what's the book called again?
It's called The Power of Positivity,
mm-hmm.
and it's by Norman Vincent Peale. I looked him up.
Related to Jordan Peele?
Ha! No.
Yeah.
Nope.
Not even close.
One's white, one's black. Vincent, yeah. I didn't know he was
an
older...
One has an Oscar, one doesn't. That's all that matters.
I didn't know he was... I thought he was just a young white guy. He was like, I think he passed.
Mm.
I think
he thought
passed.
He was like a recent professor who. Just
I thought he was like some no, young.
I wouldn't be surprised if this book came out like in the 60s.
I think it did.
Yeah, a lot of those books do. Because
published in 1952.
There you go.
There it is.
Because a lot of you know, at the end of the day, whatever you're going through, like body, mind, spirit, like we're all like humans have been the same for millions of years, you know what I mean? Well, not millions of years, but hundreds of years humans have been the same. And so we've always been dealing with these things, you know, whether it be the 1900s, you know, whether it be 1950s, 2000s, you know, we're all human and we're all going through the same things, you know what I mean? The hard part is just adapting to the world that we're given now, you know what I mean? Because there's so many things that are happening faster than ever, mm-hmm. but at the same time, a body is a natural organic organism. So we're going to react the same way we had 100 years ago, but we're only going to react to different things now. So the body and the mind never changes. We're just going to have to adapt to the world. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot to do with adaptability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have to just adapt to the situation that you dealt.
And you know what I learned recently, like in the last few years, I would say even the last year, which was a kind of, you know, you kind of learn the hard way, is the best way to move forward and to be like this adult, this sort of, you know, this person that you strive to be, is to really just let your ego down. Like, not let your ego down, but put your ego aside, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Forget about what you need and you having to be the most important person. It's like, you are the most important person in your head, because at the end of the day, you yourself is important. You yourself is the most important person in your life. You have to think of yourself that way. But you can't put everything... You have to put your ego aside to let other people sort of coming into your heart, you know, coming into your world without...
Unless you're Kanye West.
Yeah. Kanye West, everything's about you.
Ego worked out.
Yeah.
But I used
to have like a short temper. I used to get upset all the time because this guy did this or this person did that. This person... And it's like, you know what? I don't know this person. I don't care. It's fine. Like, it's a little bit of letting your ego aside, and a little, and the negative part is a little bit of just not giving a fuck, man. Because it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, you just have to be like, hey, man, it's cool. You just have to be like, you know what? Life goes on.
Yep. That's it's this it. Thing that we got called, I'm grown.
Yeah.
I'm grown. I ain't got time for this.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to be an adult, man.
You got to be an adult.
There's a lot of adult children out there that need to get their shit straight. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? All right, let's move on to the next topic. We're almost an hour and a half in, so let's talk about let's talk about music real quick.
Music.
Let's talk about music. Music of our hearts. Yeah. Music of our minds.
Music of our.
And this is where the podcast ends. Oh, nice.
Whoa, it got sweet at the end, man.
We work at a place where we get to choose our music, like playing in the restaurant.
Yeah,
and
kind of sorta.
Yeah, and you sing a lot to the like you sing a lot to like 60s, 70s. Like the other day, I played Aretha Franklin. You were singing along with Aretha. You were singing mm-hmm. along with Sam Cooke. Yeah. You were singing along with Ray Charles. Like you love old country music.
It's to a point where I always
old soul music, I should say. Yeah.
I grew up on it.
Yeah, yeah. So
my dad used to always he still to this day sings mm-hmm. to a point where, you know, it was getting annoying to me. I'm like, God dang, dad, you sing.
My parents don't sing at all.
But
at all. If they did, I'd be like, what are you
but
doing?
But that's the thing. When I got older, I realized I'd rather hear him sing than not sing at all.
That's so wow. That's beautiful.
Hear him sing anything.
Wow.
Yep.
So and that got real deep.
That got real deep.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's how it can be.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I get from that's what I get from him.
Mm-hmm.
I sing a lot. To a point where I'm like, why people ain't telling me to shut the hell up? I don't know. Because mm-hmm. I don't think I really got a good voice.
Yeah.
But I just like singing.
I think you have a great voice, actually. And and it makes the place, it makes the work kind of, it makes it, it's kind of a cozy kind of setting now when you sing. It's nice.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, besides the old soul, besides that old kind of like, yeah, I guess
old man music. But...
Oh yeah, no, I want to say old man music because I like that's the music
classics.
I love. Like besides old
Motown classics.
I remember the first time I asked you like, what type of music do you listen to? And I'm not gonna lie, I thought you were gonna say like, oh, I don't know, I like a little bit of everything. You know, J. Cole. I like some of the new. You know, I like maybe sure you can say Kanye. I don't know. It could have been anything. I wouldn't even be surprised if you'd been like, yeah, I like. I don't know, Imagine Dragons, anything. And
that's
you
a
said,
bum name. Yeah. Who thought of it?
That what?
That's a bum name
Imagine
for
Dragons?
A group. Imagine
yeah,
Dragons. It rhymes and it's like,
oh,
I want
a bomb
imagine.
Name?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like Imagine Dragons.
You don't like the name Imagine Dragons?
I guess the name is fine, but I don't
nice.
Like the band. I don't think their music's any good.
I liked them when they was with Kendrick. They
Kendrick's
did like
great.
A couple songs.
But you said I listened to... My favorite artists are Biggie and Tupac, and I was like, "What?" Which is a great answer, but I didn't know you were gonna go back to the 80s.
I like
or the or I should say 90s.
That's early 90s. Yeah, I like 90s. Biggie, Tupac. I like A-Ball, MJG,
mm-hmm.
straight from Memphis, Tennessee. I like UGK.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs to Bun B, Pimp C, rest in peace.
Are these just words? Is this real thing?
No, these are real.
These are real thing. Okay.
UGK, Underground Kings, man.
No, well, you know
Outkast.
Outkast?
Ludacris.
I know, yeah.
I don't like Chris, what's his name? Chris Rogers? I think that's his name.
Chris, you're thinking Mr. Rogers?
No. Ludacris' real name. That's what they going to, Chris Bridges.
Oh, maybe.
Chris, people are going to, nowadays, the millennials are going to know him as Chris Bridges.
Oh, he changed his name? It's not Ludacris anymore?
It's still Ludacris, but... Not many people going. He don't
he rap
that
his name.
Much.
That's ludicrous.
But boom, boom,
boom,
boom. But yeah, he goes. I'm pretty sure he still goes by Ludacrus. But
yeah.
Not many people go
if he
know
does,
him
if he
from
changes
rapping
his name.
That.
No one's gonna go to a show. Like,
I know
I
him
go,
from.
I don't want to go see Chris Robinson in concert. I want to go see Ludacrus.
Chris Bridges.
Yeah.
But yeah, hey, Ludacris was one of the beasts back in the day.
Yeah, he was.
He was, before he was racing cars, he was killing it.
Oh, he used to race cars?
Chris Lover Lover.
Really?
He was a radio host.
When you think of Ludacris, what's some of the songs that you remember?
I'm gonna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When that's I wanna, awesome. You make it no good, and I won't leave. So I gotta fret to see.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that was fun. That was fun.
That was a good time.
That was a good. That was a.
I don't know what happened to Shauna. Shout out to her. DTP.
DTP.
Hey, and 2 Chainz made it up out of it. He was known as a Titty Boy when he was in DTP.
Oh, man. He went from Titty Boy to 2 Chainz? I would have kept it Titty Boy. Yeah. Oh, man. Titty Boy just rolls off the tongue. 2 Chainz is like, yeah, 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz. Oh, my gosh. Titty Boy. I would have stayed with Titty Boy.
Mm-hmm. He was in a group called
Pony. God, if that was my nickname, I would have been like, yep, that's my name, Titty Boy.
Titty Boy.
That's ridiculous. I'm so glad that's not my nickname. That's terrible. Yeah. I would have changed it to 2 Chainz real quick too.
Nowadays you can't roll with Titty Boy nowadays.
No way. But yeah, so right now, if you could say right now, music that, even if it's just something recently you've been listening to, like just like if it's like not even that big of a deal, something it's like, oh, this is catchy, this is cool. Any artists recently?
I've been trying my best to get a lot of people on this guy because he's from Virginia. He's from the South. Mm-hmm. And he's a lyricist. His name is Nick Grant. Mm-hmm. Please, please, people, listen to some Nick Grant.
Nick Grant? Type of genre is he?
He's a hip-hop artist, mm-hmm. lyricist. So he got some bars for you.
Great, man. How did you discover him?
Through Breakfast Club.
Oh, Breakfast Club. For you guys who don't know, Breakfast Club is a podcast, which is really great. Mm-hmm. They're basically like a morning news show.
Yep.
And they talk about culture, current events, music, you know, so kind of like this, you know, they interview people, but they're really great. I like them a lot too. They're awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen to Breakfast Club. But that's great, man. What was his name again?
Nick Grant.
Nick Grant.
Yep.
Check him out.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And is he recent or is he a little older?
He's still making good stuff. Second album.
All right, good. Well, good for him, man.
And to plug my friend Steve McSwain.
Steve McSwain, what's up, man?
He is a battle rapper that is kicking ass right now.
And, all right, guys, if you haven't heard of him, Google or YouTube Steve McSwain
and Darius.
And Darius, just Darius.
Darius Fry. I don't know if he's doing music.
Well, you can't plug him if you don't know.
I think he's still doing music. He's doing something.
Well, just check him out. Check him out. let's just support our love to everyone out
there. I ain't want to like plug a celebrity and then not plug my own people.
All right, well, let's start to wrap this up because we're on an hour and a half now.
Wow.
Right, yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's fluent.
All right, so I'm gonna rush through these. Any current events you want to talk about? Anything that happened in your life lately?
Current events that happened to me. Lately,
you want to share?
Six Flags was fun. I went to Six Flags. When'd
you go to there?
That was like day 4 yesterday. It was really fun. Dude. I realized that I'm a roller coaster enthusiast.
Aren't the roller coasters there freaking awesome?
They fucking are.
They're crazy, man. They're crazy. Six Flags
and,
is fun.
And it also shows Six Flags also shows the beauty of the women that is here in LA.
I have to read your shirt out loud. I honestly, you've been here for probably like 3 hours and I have not read your shirt till now. It says, I hope you like animals because I'm a beast. That is a child's shirt. That's like the shirt you see on people when they're like,
hello.
When they're like, when their mom dresses them when they're like 9 years old.
my cousin gave me this.
That's an awesome shirt, man. I love that shirt. That's great. That shirt honestly like resembles you so well. It's perfect.
I also got a shirt to say FBI female body inspector.
Oh, you're one of those guys.
With the Me Too movement, I'm scared to wear it.
I always wonder who buys those shirts.
It was nice back in the day.
Yeah.
I don't wear it that much no more.
That's crazy. Well, yeah, you know. Yeah,
you are what? One chick thought I was actually an FBI person.
Jeez. That was your one chance. I hope you didn't take advantage.
First of all, I'm black.
I hope you were like, look, lady, this is a shirt. Please go see someone.
Baby,
please go find some safety.
If you read below, you will already see that I've been checking you out.
Well, speaking of ladies, any relationship status?
No, I'm still single as a dollar bill. All
right, let's move on.
Let's move on. Hello, ladies.
Yeah. So, really quick, anything you want to share that kind of like you want to promote that you found kind of has helped you out lately, or anything about your life that you've discovered that's like, oh, this is pretty cool. Something new that's happened lately.
Same old. Just the same old, same old. I do realize that you always have to work on yourself.
Yeah.
Through thinking about positivity.
That's good.
I realized that I was a worrier. Mm-hmm. I always worried a lot. Worried about this, worried about that. Just try to live in the moment, you guys. Think positive. Stay focused. Mm-hmm. And things will happen.
That's beautiful, man. You got to go from a warrior to a warrior.
It's not a Golden State Warrior.
Oh, you don't like Golden State? Man, oh, yeah, you're Memphis.
Yeah, folks, made a whole dream team.
Yeah, yeah. You're the Timberwolves.
Yeah, Timberwolves. No, I'm the Memphis.
Oh, is that Minnesota? Grizzlies. Minnesota's Timberwolves.
Minnesota's Timberwolves.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the states wrong. You're, Yeah, what's your team? What am I?
Memphis Grizzlies.
Grizzlies. That's what it is. Memphis Grizzlies. That's
we
right.
believe.
All right, so Wolves and Bears are all in the same. They're all in the same area.
A bear would beat a wolf's ass.
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
I mean,
what?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because they, you know what it is? They have like arms where wolves mm-hmm. are. Yeah, they can like. Yeah, they can use their arms. Yeah.
We need to have a whole show where we just talk about random animals that go against each other.
That's true.
Who would win?
We'll do that. We'll do that. I'll note that in. We'll do that at some point.
Yeah.
Animals that we think. We'll call it Animal Showdown.
Animal Showdown.
We'll just
grizzly
think of a bunch of different
versus
animals.
Ape.
Yeah. That's a good grizzly bear versus gorilla. That's crazy.
Ooh, he talking that boy.
Damn, that's a crazy one.
I'm going with the
gorilla. Have to think about that next time. All right, so I always like to close the show with an easy question because it's kind of fun.
All right.
My favorite meal of the day is breakfast.
Breakfast, yes.
Breakfast is great.
I love breakfast.
So I like to ask the guest, what is your ideal, your dream breakfast?
What the hell? A hard-ass question.
I know, right?
That's like one of the hardest questions.
I know. If you can bring anything together, any breakfast together, what would it be? What's your ideal dream breakfast? Go ahead.
I love pancakes.
Every single person I've gotten so far has said either pancakes or waffles.
I think I'm scared that somebody would poison me with pancakes. How much I love pancakes
like
so much.
They eat pancakes.
I'm
so like,
terrified.
They blackmail you with pancakes.
So it would be so easy. Please don't do that. That would be the easiest kill.
So pancakes,
bacon and eggs,
okay.
And sausage.
Yeah. Good old American breakfast.
In a You heard of Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker
yeah.
Barrel.
I love Cracker Barrel.
Mama's pancake
best,
breakfast.
Best gift shop in the
with
world.
Pecan pancakes. Lord.
Pecans, yeah, yeah. I once made pancakes with bananas and pecans. Pecans, whatever.
Mmm.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You don't have
so your ideal breakfast
like
is definitely has to have pancakes.
Definitely got to have
pancakes. How do you like your eggs?
Bacon. Scrambled.
Oh, same here. I love my favorite way to do eggs is scrambled.
Yes.
Bacon. Just good old traditional bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Bacon. And then what else?
I think probably just the original Grand Slam from Denny's, but just amplified. Yeah.
Okay.
Sausage.
Oh, so
good old
Chris.
I'm just going to name everything that's breakfast. I love breakfast. I never get up in the morning to eat it.
All right. So let's say, okay, so you got big old stack of pancakes. You
yes,
got
Jesus.
Scrambled eggs,
mm-hmm.
bacon, yes, and sausage,
mm-hmm.
and grits. You ever had shrimp and grits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a big southern
New Orleans.
That's
New Orleans.
Yeah, that's
like
really
that.
Southern shrimp and grits. Yeah,
that's some southern.
So grits,
cheese grits is too.
Cheese grits is great.
Cheese
yeah, nice and creamy.
Good.
All right, so you want to add anything else to that? Or is that good? Do you like
hungry.
Toast? Are you a toast guy? Toast.
I mess with toast. From
you toast,
time
but
to
you're
time
not
time
like
you,
if you don't have it, it's okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
If toast ain't there to the pot.
I love toast. I would probably if I don't get pancakes, I usually always get toast because it's like too many. It's too much bread and all that. But yeah.
How are you with French? What is it?
French toast.
French toast.
You knew the word.
I was going to say something way more elaborate.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a big sweet person when it comes to breakfast. I'm more savory. Like, my favorite thing is just, like, eggs.
Steak and eggs?
Well, I don't eat meats. I mean, I eat fish, but I'm a big advocator on breakfast burritos.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite.
Hey,
yeah.
Tommy's got a good breakfast burrito.
Tommy's?
Tommy's, the chili place.
I've never been there. Tommy's.
You never been there.
Can you plug Tommy's real quick?
I'm finna plug Tommy's. Tommy's is a nice chili place where they have like chili burgers, mm-hmm, and chili fries. The chili is the main
thing.
And
is it for the locals in Los Angeles?
Yes, it is for the locals.
Where can we find it?
It's on Sunset and near Sunset and Wilton. Near there.
Okay.
And then there's another one that's off of Pico. Nice.
But yeah, so yeah, you're big on just pancakes, sausage, bacon, scrambled eggs.
I could eat
grits. All right, what's your drink of choice? You just like water? What do you like? What do you like to drink for breakfast?
For breakfast?
Yeah, are you coffee, milk, tea, just one big glass of milk?
One big glass of cold milk.
Yeah, 2%, 3%, 1%. 2%, right in the middle?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sometimes I go with the whole, now since I've been living out here and I'm trying to do better, trying to do some almond.
Almond milk is great.
Almond milk is good.
Almond
it's
milk
sweet.
Is great. And there's so many almonds. Like, you can do almond milk, cashew milk. There's oat milk now.
Mm-hmm.
You can do pea milk. And that's not urine. It's actually from peas. Yeah. I've had it. It's pretty good. Well, that's great, man. So you're a big breakfast advocate. Huh?
Oh, yeah. I love
everyone
breakfast.
Always says, no matter what, everyone always goes to pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pancakes is the strength of the world.
All right. Wow, pancakes is the strength
like you could.
St-
I seen somebody on a Facebook post. Dude stopped a fight with pizza. I think you could stop a fight with pancakes.
I think you can stop a lot of things with pancakes.
I think you could stop a war
world peace?
With pancakes.
Pancakes.
War. You could stop a war with pancakes and women.
No, you could start a war with.
You
women.
Can start a war.
Yeah. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag
yes.
Equal rights.
Equal rights for all.
All for all.
And pancakes.
Pancakes. Promote yourself. What's social media on you on? YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Where can people find you?
Facebook. I'm Jaron Robinson. At one moment, I was the author of romance on there. I don't know why.
I don't know what that
going
means.
Through a phase. But yeah, Jaron Robinson on Facebook. JRON27 on Instagram.
JRON27.
Yes, sir. I made that Instagram. Page when I was 27, so... Hence the 27. And YouTube, I have a small show called Posted on there. We need to do something new on there. But it's some old footage on there of me.
Mm-hmm.
And just Google my name or YouTube my name.
Jaron Robinson. You want to spell
it? Jaron Robinson. JARRON. Robinson, like Smokey Robinson.
That's it.
Or
Jackie
Robinson.
Booyah.
No can, though.
Mrs. Robinson by Simon and Garfunkel.
That's Simon and Garfunkel.
Hey, Robinson. Do you have any of your stand-up online?
I don't know. I don't think I do. Because I don't like... A lot of people told me to record myself where I'm doing stand-up, but I don't like to.
Okay, well, that's fair.
I like
to
live in the moment.
Yeah, keep it low-key.
And I don't... Sure. I don't put my stand-up on... social media, because I'm afraid somebody might steal my shit. So
really? That is a true... Yeah, that's a true thing. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So if you want to see my stand-up, come see me.
Where are some of the places you like to go?
I go to Flappers. I'll be there a lot. I'm probably going to be auditioning soon for there and hopefully get booked for something through there. I get booked a lot through Flappers.
Do you go to any open mics like that you
open
go
mics,
to frequently?
Yeah, there's a nice open mic off of Sunset at Cultura y Sabora. I can't pronounce it right because I'm from the hood. Yeah, and I be there a lot. They have open mics on Thursdays and Fridays.
Perfect.
So, yeah, man. Hey, come see me.
Come check it
I'm
out.
I'm trying to get enough cojones to go to the Comedy Store.
Oh, you can do it, brother.
Because I realize that is the source of the comedy soul out
there.
Dude,
it's been
the
source since, like, what, the 70s?
Since the 70s. I seen, like, a recent documentary on YouTube of Behind the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Oh, my
A lot of legends come out of there, bro. Yeah, it's incredible. The lineup. I've seen the lineup for open mic. It's streets. Mm-hmm. People line up for open mic like crazy there, man. Insane. But hey, man, I wish the best of luck of you.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. You're a great guy.
You're a wonderful host, or I guess guest. I'm the host. I'm a wonderful host. You're a wonderful guest. Very funny. very inspirational. But thank you so much, Jay. I appreciate you coming down, and I wish you the best of luck. I know I said all these things again, but... All right, man, stay sweet, and thank you guys again for joining this podcast, for listening on to Conversations from a Room. Keep on listening, guys. Keep on being great. Jay, you want to say anything else?
We talked so long that the dog fell asleep.
Yeah, the dog's asleep. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Ciao.